Bruchim Abayim to another week of Parsha Insights, Parshiyos, Achrei Mos and Kedoshim. It's wonderful to be able to have this year together. We haven't had it for a few weeks. We had Baruch Hashem Pesach. And so now to be able to have this year together in the Heichal, and as you said, on a live recording in a sold-out Heichal, now that is super special. I hope everyone had a beautiful Pesach. All the tefillah should be answered. It should be refuis and yeshuis. For all those in Klal Yisrael who need it, but to be back here in the Heichal, or if you're listening live, or as the recording is going out, very, very special. The Shir is sponsored, L'Zeicher Nishmas Ula Iwa Nishmas, Rebecca Bas Serina, and Leon Ben Rachel. May the Neshama Teres have a Lichtige, Lichtige Gan Eden. And it is also sponsored this week by Eddie and Zelda Zemel. We're very, very grateful to Eddie and Zelda for their sponsorship for a number of reasons. First is L'Zeicher Nishmas Ula Ili Nishmas, Zelda's father, Reb David Ben Reb Nissim Nissel, whose yard site was the 27th of Nisan. Be'ezus Hashem, his Neshama Tahira should have a Lichtige, Lichtige Gan Eden. They're also sponsoring that Be'ezus Hashem, it should be a schus, as a refuah shalema, and for Yeshua's, for all of the Chayla Yisrael, Be'ezus Hashem, oh, those tefillahs be answered. And very beautifully they're sponsoring, because Baruch Hashem, as some of the mishpachas here in the Heichal, they have three mazel tovs in the mishpacha, beautiful, and one is able to sponsor, so we certainly wish them a mazel tov, firstly on the birth of twin boys, born to Avrami and to Hinda Bassman. We also wish them a mazel tov on the engagement of Ahuva Zemel to Ephraim Wiener of Baltimore, a tremendous mazel tov, and also on the birth of their another great-grandchild born to Sruli and Batya Silver, a daughter, Bracha. So for all of those beautiful mazel tovs, may all the simchas continue, and may we be zeichet to share them from and together with each other. If a person takes a look at the beginning of the parsha, we'll notice it actually starts with a very sad event, to say the least. Vayedaber Hashem Moshe, Achrei Moshe b'nei Aaron. It's talking about the death of two of Aaron's sons. If we think about it, we have to wonder, because we also find ourselves approaching Kabbalah Satira, and yet that incredible celebration seems to be marred by the fact that it's preceded with Sfiras HaOmer, which of course is a recognition of the 24,000 Talmidim of Rabbi Akiva who passed away, and then Rabbi Akiva had to start again with five Talmidim. So it's the Duvna Magid who asks a very penetrating question, and he wonders, why is it that on these two occasions we find that they're really two of the happiest days of our Jewish calendar? You're talking about the day of Kabbalah Satira and the day of what's going to be Chanukah HaMishkan, the inauguration of the Mishkan, and yet as happy as those days were, they seem to be marked to a degree by tragedy. We find the death of Aaron's two sons who perished on the day of the inauguration of the Mishkan. And as I mentioned a moment ago, during this time as we're marching towards Kabbalah Satira, the prelude of the giving of the Torah, we find Sfiras HaOmer, the 24,000 Talmidim of Rabbi Akiva, died. Why was it necessary, so to speak, wonders the Duvna Magid, that the tragedies had to seemingly be tied into, or should I say the days of ultimate joy had to be tied into these tragedies? And he gives a very profound answer. Obviously, we're speaking about such incredible events, but we have to apply it to our life as well. The Duvna Magid says that the lesson is clear, and he explains, it is true that we stress Limud HaTorah and the importance of learning Torah, realizing that the Torah is certainly a panacea for a spiritual, you know, we're mamish in the middle of the days of Pirkei Avos. And when we gave the opening shiur 2 weeks ago, we explained the name. And you'll see that's why I stopped in mid-sentence, because the Torah and learning Torah is certainly to help us with our spiritual life and to prevent spiritual ills, if you will. Pirkei Avos is a fabulous proof. I'll actually show you in a moment what I'm referencing with the name. But the Duvna Magid explains that that concept of what Torah could accomplish could also create a great danger. How so? He says so powerfully because a person might think, okay, I have the Torah. I'm learning the Torah. So it, in and of itself, the Torah and the Limud HaTorah, that in and of itself is the protection or the way to realize a spiritual life or to prevent myself from spiritual ills. But obviously, says the Duvna Magid, you'd be missing the point. Because without developing your midos, I'm not just talking about the fact that in Pirkei Avos it says, Derech Eretz Kadmo LaTorah. I'm talking about using the Torah to perfect your midos, using your Torah to develop the character trait. That's the way to ward off the Yetzer Hara. It's not that a person could say, okay, I have the Torah, I'm set. Learning the Torah without allowing it, as we've used the expression many times, Torah by Ibra the Mensch, it has to change your persona. It has to make you a better person. You want a beautiful raya. Reb Aaron Zechasavik Mikodesh Avrocha speaks about the fact that Esav, his head made a Taras Maris HaMachpelah, but his body did not. Why not? He was a big Talmud Chacham. So his head rolled off and made it to Maris HaMachpelah. Such an incredible place, such a chosh of a place, because in his head he was a Talmud Chacham. But he didn't allow that learning, that Limud HaTorah, to bite Ibra the Mensch, to change him, to transform him. He didn't allow it to change or give him proper midah. So his body never made it, but his head did. Rav Aaron says you have to clearly see that the Limud HaTorah, it's not just to learn it and to have it. It's to utilize it to help you with your character perfection. This is a time to realize we have to work on our midos, especially the days of Pirkei Avos. Thinking that the Torah, without allowing it to change our midos, that's a great danger, says the Duvna Magid. In fact, the Gemara tells us, Isaifa la safra, Isaifa la safra. If I have the Sayif, I don't have Safra, and vice versa. If I have the Sayif, I don't have the Sayif, the sword. What's the explanation? Because when a person learns Torah, but not just learns it, allows the Midos to help and change his character development, then he's not going to suffer from a head-body disconnect. I'm not just talking in a metaphysical sense like Esav. I'm talking about in a spiritual sense. To learn the Torah but not to practice what you preach, and to let it stay north of your neck and not let it go south and permeate and saturate your very being, what did you accomplish? If a person truly has Safra, the Sefer, meaning it permeated south of his neck, the entire guf, then Lav Saifa, he doesn't suffer a head-body disconnect with the sword. Again, as I said, I don't just mean in a physical sense, I mean in a spiritual sense. But Isaifa, if I see that the head and body are disconnected, i.e. in a spiritual sense, there's been a head-body disconnect, that could only mean one thing, Lav Safra, that it couldn't have been a true and proper learning because you didn't allow it to do character development. These are mamish, it's true all year. But especially the days of Sfiras Omer approaching Kabbalah HaTorah, it's the days to realize. It has to not just be a Safra, but a Safra that shows that there's no Saif. In fact, I thought maybe that could be the Pshat. I think it's a nice explanation. The Siyata Dishmaya, the Gemara, we actually learned it in Avodah Zarah, just said, the famous Gemara, Ashrei mi shebo lekan v'tamuda biyadai. What a gewaldic Gemara. Ashrei mi shebo lekan v'tamuda biyadai. How fortunate is the person who makes it to Olam Haba v'tamuda biyadai. The learning was in his hand. Now, why in the world does the Gemara speak about tamuda biyadai? Isn't the Talmud in your head? your mind, your heart? What in the world does the Gemara mean, v'talmuda biyadai? So I think on what we've been explaining the last 10 minutes about not having a head-body disconnect and realizing that the learning is to help you with your character development, I think it works very beautifully. Ashrei mi shebo lekan, how fortunate is the person who makes it to the next world, v'talmudai biyadai, biyadai. It made it into his hands. It doesn't say that it just remained in his heart or his head or his mind, but it transformed his being. It transformed his guf. It went north like a license plate, BMS. It transformed the person, the entire being of the person. That's who's fortunate. Ashrei mi shebo lekan, fortunate is the person who makes it to the next world. Not just that he learned, but the learning changed him and made him a mensch and made him a balmidais. V'talmudai biyadai. Biyadai is a way of saying a metaphor that it didn't remain north of his neck, but it went south and permeated his body. Biyadai, biyadai, biyadai. In his actions, in his interactions, and dare I say in his reaction, you could see he was a person of Safra. So a person should be Zoicha, not merely that the Talmud is in his head, his mind, his heart, but biyadai, that means das Baidibur, the man should change the person. Maybe, by the way, that's the pshat, it says by Amalek, that perpetual enemy of ours, it says that when they medicine Rafidim, so Chazal say the word Rafidim is Sherofu Yedeya Minatayra. They weakened our hands from Torah. Now what does that mean? You don't weaken the hands from Torah. You weaken a person's intellect, their mind, their seichel. So what, pray tell, do Chazal mean Sherofu Yedeya Minatayra? But I think from what we just explained from the Gemara and Avodah Zarah, the way we translated the Talmud Biyadai, it comes out beautifully. Amalek per se, you want to learn, learn. You want to learn, learn. They wanted there to be a head-body disconnect. They wanted there to be a spiritual misasayif. They wanted that if you learn, but it shouldn't change who you are. In other words, Sherofu Yedeihem min hatayra. They wanted to weaken our hands in learning. The intellect, the learning, learn, but don't let it improve your character development. Dvarim ha'oindim v'nayron beruma shalayim that we're discussing, and that takes us back to the Duvne Magad, who says, that is why the Ribbono Shalayim chose to teach us this incredibly important lesson about learning, needing to develop our midos, specifically by these two incredibly happy spiritual occasions. They seemingly were tied in and marred by a tragedy. The Magad explains, yes, before the Yom Tov that commemorates the giving of the Torah, HaKadosh Baruch Hu acted specifically with midas hadin, strict justice. And he took the lives of 24,000 of the distinguished Talmidim of Rabbi Akiva. What does the Gemara say their infraction was? And of course, you have to realize we're talking about the Talmidim of Rabbi Akiva, so we have to be exceedingly careful. The Gemara says, Shleinogu Kavod Zelazeh. On whatever level is to be understood, there was a lack of respect one for another. Granted, a hair's breadth of an Aveira concerning these Talmidim, each and every one on a level beyond our comprehension. But the Ribbono Shel Olam specifically did this before the giving of the Torah to tell us the giving of the Torah in and of itself is not enough. It has to bring the Nogu Kavod Zelazeh, the Haftu Recha Kamech, which, by the way, we read about in Parshas Kedoshim, the character development. And similarly, he says, likewise, you find the same thing. The Mishkan, the Beis Hamikdash, is the place of ultimate spiritual stature, the quintessence of the sanctity. And once again, maybe that in and of itself will lead a person to complacency and forget about midas tovos, good character traits. a person has to be constantly reminded, no, it's not enough that you have the place. It has to refine you and make you a better person. And what's that reminder? The death of the two sons of Aaron, who were of such lofty spiritual eminence, but they were tragically taken also because Midas Hadin was employed and used at this point because it was delving deeply into their Midas. Says the Divna Magid, the lesson for us has to be apparent. Although it is approaching these two extraordinary days of the Chanukah Samishan, the inauguration of the Mishkan, and the Yomtif of the giving of the Torah, both of them were preceded by the strict Midas Hadin, vis-a-vis something in an interpersonal relationship or something in terms of a Midah. Why? To remind us to only have the place of holy spiritual stature, to have the Torah, but not to keep working on your Midas, then you miss the point. And that, says the Divna Magid, is the reminder for us. And so I thought that especially, not only with Parshiyos Achrei Mos Kedoshim, but as I referenced a few moments ago, Pirkei Avos, we've already started our Shabbos afternoon shiur. And we spoke about the name Pirkei Avos, which has become pretty much our custom every year, but I think it ties in so beautifully to what we've been talking about the last 20 or so minutes. Pirkei Avos, people translate to mean the chapters, ethics of our fathers. We explained 2 weeks ago when we started that the word Pirkei is the word Perek. A person has a joint on their body. If you're in the Heichal and you're looking, I'm showing you on the fingers where they bend, the first joint, the second joint on the fingers. That's called a Perek. You'll know that because on fast days or different days, be it Yom Kippur or Tisha B'Av, we're told to wash up until this Perek, up until this joint. What do the joints of the body do? They give the body the physical functionality. If a person, Chalilah, didn't have the joints that were working correctly, be it their elbow, they couldn't bend their arm, they couldn't feed themselves. If the knee, the joint, the ankle wasn't working properly, how's a person to walk, to move? A person couldn't function physically if the prokim on his body were, Chalilah, not working correctly. Just as the perek on your body gives you physical functionality, the Perek of Pirkei Avos, those Mishnayos, Mishnayos of Midos, Mishnayos of ethics, Mishnayos of character development and defining and refining yourself, they're called Pirkei Avos. Pirkei Avos, than the word Perek. Just like the Perek of your body gives the body the good physical functionality, these Mishnayos give us spiritual functionality. Just as one without the physical joint, the body couldn't possibly function, without internalizing the lessons of the Mishnayos of the Torah Pirkei Avos, one could not spiritually exist. And that's where the name Pirkei Avos comes from. And that's the way the Divna Magid says to you these extraordinary events. There's such Kedusha, but it was tied into these tragedies to remind us one without the other is simply not a formula. It's not negotiable. It's what Amalek wanted, Sherefu Yedehem. It's what Esav represented. But we have to strive for the goal, Ashrei mi shebo lekan v'talmudei biyadei, that it, by Ibra the Mensch, it changes our persona. And that leads us into Parshas Kedoshim. One could take a look in Parshas Kedoshim, pasuk after pasuk after pasuk, galore, if you could say, speaking about Midah, speaking about Pirkei Avos, speaking about character refinement and Midah's development. We'll but focus on just a couple of the psukim. If you take a look in Kedoshim, it says, right after Sheni in Kedoshim, Toicheach, Toicheach, Esamisecha, Veleisisa, Olav Chet, it's Yud Tes, Yud Zayin. Now, literally, what that pasuk means, Toicheach, Toicheach, Esamisecha, yes, that you have to go ahead and give Musar, but Veleisisa, Olav Chet, don't bear a sin because of him, meaning don't go ahead. You're required to give mussar to the wrongdoer, but if you do it in the wrong way, you'll be sinning. Do it in a way that doesn't embarrass him. You'd see from our Gedolim, time and time again, their way of giving mussar, gently rebuking, it would serve all of us well to learn from. I know I've said this mice on many occasions, but for me it's personal. So like I say, whether you're in the sold-out Heichal, even by Detroit standards, or you're listening live, or you'll hear it Be'ezus Hashem in many places around the world, it's an extraordinary story. We've said it, but it happened with my father's Atzal. And it's mamish what the Rashi, the Sifra, speak out. Don't bear a sin because of him. Don't embarrass a person. Our family cousin was the great Reb Shlomka Berman, who married the daughter of the Stipler. And the Stipler and the Chazon Ish were brothers-in-law. That means by marriage, our cousin Reb Shlomka Berman was the nephew of the Chazon Ish. So in honor of the first Shabbos is that my father was in Eretz Yisrael, Tovshin Yud Aleph, 1951, almost 80 years ago. So on Shabbos afternoon, our cousin Reb Shlomka Berman took my father and they went to the great Chazon Ish. Could you imagine? I'm not telling you something you could read in a book, chapter 16, or you heard from somebody who was told by somebody who heard from somebody in passing. I heard this countless times from my father, Zatzal. They're sitting at the table, the three, and in middle, the Chazon Ish turned to Reb Shlomka, his nephew by marriage, and said, "What time is it?" Now my father for a moment was taken back by the question because he knew that the Chazon Ish did not use the Erev on Shabbos, and therefore by extension, neither would his nephew. Then my father, so he wouldn't be wearing a watch. My father looked down at his hand, his own wrist, and he realized he was wearing a watch. He remembered in America hearing one of the most beautiful things about the Chazon Ish, that when he gave mussar, he did not do it directly. Mamish, what we're learning in Parshas Kedoshim, don't bear a sin, don't embarrass the person, don't humiliate the person. You have to reprove and give the mussar, but do it in a way where the person has the dignity. He remembered hearing that when the Chazon Ish wanted to give mussar, if he wanted to say something to person A, he would say it to person B in a way that A should understand he means him and not the other. In other words, an indirect way. Could you imagine if we would be zeicha to do that today in relationships with whomever it might be? Oy, how different things would be. And so my father realized on the spot, looking down at his own wrist, that he was wearing a watch, and that was the Chazon Ish's way of telling him he shouldn't be wearing the watch by asking Rav Shlomka what time it is. It was really a reference to my father not to be wearing the watch. So my father chopped right away. Years later, right before my father was nifter, he was actually recounting the story yet again. And he said to me, Ephraim Eliyahu, you don't know how many countless times I thank the Ribbono Shel Olam that in the presence of the Chazon Ish, the Gadol Hador, I was able to pick up and chop that he was referring to me. I thank the Ribbono Shel Olam. So he took off the watch and he handed it to the Chazon Ish. And then he says, my father said that the Chazon Ish broke out into a huge smile, realizing that my father meant him. He turned around and put it on his shelf, the watch, and then said to my father, "Gut, gut, remortcha. Itzter vosechob ayir amashke. Now that I have something that belongs to you, I know you're going to come back and visit me again. Because you have to come back to get your watch." And on the cassette tape, my father then says, that way of the Chazon Ish speaking, Mam Mishakiyam of this week's Fossil Kaycheyak, Teychiyak, and Zamizecha, Vleisis Olav Chet. In other words, something needed to be said, or the Chazon Ish wanted to say it. But he did it in such a way not to embarrass, so carefully, so carefully, so carefully. My father said that that led to more than 100 additional visits that he had together with the Chazon Ish. Could you imagine if we would learn that art to speak to people that way, a spouse, a sibling, whomever it might be? I'll tell you now another pshat on the words, but really they go hand in hand. I believe it's the Ari Gedalia who brings it down, and it's such a myridik pshat. The word sisa, I translated it twice to mean don't bear a sin because of him, meaning don't violate an aver because of him. But the word sisa is also in the word lift up, raise up. Vayisa einav, he raised up his eyes. He tells us so powerfully, it's true sometimes you have to reprove and give musar, and it's not a comfortable thing to do. But here's the golden rule to remember. V'loy sisa olav chet, from the word vayisa, don't raise it up. Don't magnify. You know, sometimes a person, when they're giving musar, all of a sudden they have a fantastic memory. I have told this to you 72 times in the last 3.5 months. Surely you remember about 60 of them, don't you? Don't do that. Say it at the right time, the right way, in the right place. But v'loisisa olavchet, from the word vayisa, don't raise it up. Don't blow it out of proportion. And don't go ahead and all of a sudden, you want to have a good memory? Remember the good. Remember the tov. We've said very many times that somebody once saw a sign in a barbershop that said, now I don't know if it was in a barbershop, but I imagine many statements start that way. I saw it in the barbershop. When I do something right, no one remembers. When I do something wrong, no one forgets. Zelo nice. The person did reach out to you 15 times. So the 16th time they didn't, and that's all you remember? The person was there for you for months on end. And the one time not, that's the thing you don't forget? Zelo nice, Rabbi Isai. Don't blow it up and blow it out of proportion. All of a sudden start remembering, I remember. Then you'll be 3 days later still arguing and not remember what happened 3 days ago. It could be that the two pshatim are very tied into each other, because the first pshat we said was the pashup pshat. Rashi speaks it out. The Sepro speaks it out. That when you give the musar, don't do it in a way that embarrasses the person. And certainly one of the easiest ways to embarrass a person is by keep bringing up the past and this and this and this and every time and you always and you never and you never and you always. Don't do that. Itaka has to be said at a time, at a place, for whomever it might be. But especially in these days of Sfiras HaOmer, days of the giving of the Torah, days of Parshas Achrinois, the Chanukas HaMishkan, the inauguration of the Mishkan, is there anything greater than a holy place than the Torah? Well, if we go ahead and use it for our Pirkei Avos, to create joints of spiritual functionality, then yes, we understand the gifts we're being given. And I'd like to therefore conclude with one pshat. We have said this in the past, but I'd like to say it with a little bit of a different twist and apply it to us. If you take a look now, go back a bit to the beginning of Parshas Kedoshim. It's a fabulous vort. But I think we could say it, as I said, with a little bit of an added knetch to help us in our interpersonal relationships. If you take a look, in the beginning of Kedoshim, it says, Kedoshim Tihiyu, you should be holy. And the next words tell us, Ani Hashem Elokeichem. Let's go to the next pasuk. Ish imay ve'ovev tira'u. Is this in your sefer as well? He said it here, that's right, he did. I had first heard this in our shul from a dear friend of ours, tremendous Rav, Avram Lefkowitz. He said it here, and then subsequently I've seen it in a number of svarim. Ish imay ve'ovev tira'u, and how does the pasuk again? Ani Hashem Elokeichem. Then you find yet the third pasuk. Al tifnu el ha'alilim, don't turn to idols. Shimshon, how does that pasuk again? Ani Hashem Elokeichem. Why do you have to say Ani Hashem Elokeichem three separate times? Ani Hashem Elokeichem. Ani Hashem Elokeichem.
Ani Hashem Elokeichem. Say it once at the end of all three. It's a good kasha.
We said so beautifully because the pasuk is addressing what could be three very different levels of people. The first pasuk is the one where we're told kedoshim tiyu. Ah, he or she is mamish a kodesh. They're holy. They're gevaldik. They're so exalted. That type of yid has to realize that Hashem says, Ani Hashem Elokeichem, I'm Hashem, I'm always there for you. But you may be on a lower level. That yid may be on a lower level. What's level number two? A very wonderful person. Of course, that's incredible to fear father and mother, to keep Shabbos. That is incredible. But it's not the first level of the Kodesh. It's a lower level. Hashem says, Ani Hashem Elokeichem, I'm the same God. I'm there for you. And you might even be Chalila on the third level, where a person has to be told, Al Tifno El Alilim, not to turn to an idol. Hashem says to even that person, Ani Hashem Elokeichem, the same Hashem that is there and relates to the Kadosh is the same Hashem that is there and relates to the one that has to be told, you keep Shabbos. And that's the same Hashem that's there and relates to the one who has to be told not to worship an idol. So whatever level he or she may be on, the person has to take chizuk and strength in realizing it's the same Ani Hashem Elokeichem in terms of being there and relationship. It's a very powerful verse. But I'd like to say that it's not only true Bein Adam LaMachayim, but it's also true Bein Adam LaChaveray. And by that I mean sometimes we're very good at being close or relating to or kind and compassionate to like maybe the Kodesh type of person. Well, it's a prominent person, it's a well-to-do person, it's easier to go ahead and to be kind to them. But how about someone maybe not as popular? Someone who doesn't have as many invitations? Someone who's not having a good day and who may be on quite a spiritual journey? How are we then? Because you know that pasuk that says, V'ahavta l'recha kamecha? What are the last two words of that pasuk? V'ahavta l'recha kamecha, ani Hashem. Maybe it's the reference, that same way that Kedoshim begins with, Ani Hashem Elokeichem, Ani Hashem Elokeichem, Ani Hashem Elokeichem, when you later on learn about Bein Adam L'Chaveira V'Yahavta L'Recha Kamecha, that pasuk ends by saying, whoa, remember that lesson that you just said about Bein Adam L'Amaka in each level? Ani Hashem is also true by V'Yahavta L'Recha Kamecha, by Bein Adam L'Chaveira. That's why those two words may be there at the end of the pasuk of Bein Adam L'Chaver V'Achlecha Gavecha Dezei. The same way the lesson applies there, equally it applies here. In other words, whether that person is on this level or maybe going through difficulties, not as popular as you, not somebody that's exactly your milieu or whatever it might be, or as I said, somebody who's struggling, Ani Hashem, remember that lesson. Remember that we try in Bein Adam L'Chaveira to be there to help, at the very least, to daven for. What can I do? How can I help? I'll tell you what you can do. You can take a person's name and daven for them. How about that? May we taka b'zaycha. As we continue our march to Kabbalas HaTaira, and as we read about the Mishkan, to remember the Duvna Magid, that the Torah and the spiritual Makom, it's to change us, Beit Ibra the Mensch, to help us in our refining ourselves, our actions, our interactions, our reactions, in our Pirkei Avos, in our character development. Now that would help a person, Ashrei Misha Bo'el Kan, V'Tamudai B'Yadai, B'Yadai, because then that means that there's no head-body disconnect. We should appreciate these spiritual gifts, and together, Mayra V'Rabbeisai, let it work on changing us and improving our midos.